from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Guys, this weekend ain't about frickin' stocks and bonds. It's about football! It's about getting your ass up off of your lazy ass, yelling for your team, and saying, let's go, Bulls! Damn it!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
And for the love of God, people, quit doing the frickin' wave. Are you kidding me? The wave? Jesus! Nobody does the wave anymore. Yeah, the Billy Bobs do it in NASCAR at the racetrack because there's nothing else to do there except meow, 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 and watch the damn cars go in circles and wait for a wreck.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Damn it, son. Do y'all hear me?
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. What's up, everybody? Your Mondays are going great. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show.
I don't let a lot of things bother. Like, I can read differing opinions. I can see people say, like, hey, I don't agree with that. Sprague, you're an idiot. Like, that's a bad take.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but the things that do bother me are when people question if you even know the sport.
Oh, do you even know what you're talking about, bro?
And I had seen this way later, but when we posted the poll question on the Beaver quarterback thing.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a Twitter account and was like...
We did that on Friday, I believe. That was Friday's show. We were talking
Friday's show?
Beaver quarterbacks. I think it was maybe Thursday or Friday. I can't remember.
I think it was Thursday because Friday we were in studio.
Touche.
And I can't remember exactly what it was, but somebody had responded and basically was like, all right, who's very uninformed and has no idea what's happening in Corvallis right now?
Oh.
Why would you do go Branson?
Oh.
And I'm just like, well, I mean.
What if he ends up being the starter?
I think he's the favorite right now.
I mean, I think that kid from Idaho should be the favorite just because he's played the most.
He's played more than Ben Gobranson?
I think
Gobranson.
He has more career starts. Because okay. Gobranson only had the 1 year where he played. And I think this guy played 2 years at Idaho. But again, I don't know that off the top of my head. But that is ridiculous to think that Gobranson doesn't have a chance to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, and like you can give me the offense Gunderson's going to run. And maybe it's a lot of what
sure.
Chip did. But like you also haven't seen
no.
it. Chip called the plays for UCLA, I believe.
Yes,
so.
He did.
I don't know. It's I don't know why those ones bother me, but they do.
Yeah, the whole you don't even know what you're talking about.
Who
bro.
Are the uninformed people who voted for Gobranson? And he doesn't fit the style of offense. Like, okay, but if he starts week one, then do you then chime in again? Or I'm always confused by it.
This guy's an absolute idiot. Well, I'm going to start the final hour outside of our moans about the audience coming on us. I have some breaking news.
Okay.
Did you guys know that Michigan cheated? Breaking news. Michigan cheated!
I did not know that.
Can you believe it?
Shocked.
I was shocked to read this piece yesterday.
They investigated in under four years.
I mean, they were the victim. They were being persecuted by the NCAA last year.
Wasn't Rashad McCanson like year six in the NBA when they finally wrapped that educational investigation for UNC?
Sources told ESPN that a draft of the NCAA's notice of allegations is coming towards Michigan, and Sharon Moore, their new head coach, is one of seven members of the 2023 football program accused of violating NCAA rules. And it is stating that Moore could face a show cause penalty and possibly a suspension for allegedly deleting a thread of 52 text messages with former Michigan staffer Connor Stallions on the same day that media reports revealed Stallions was leading an effort to capture play calling signals of future opponents. So remember that whole lone wolf thing? We didn't even know who this guy was. He was just kind of coming and going, filming.
Yeah, interesting. That was the initial take.
I didn't know who he was. Yeah. I've never even seen this guy before. Nope, that was not quite the case. They're now head coach Sharon Moore deleted text messages the day the media report surfaced. And it was also once again confirmed, and I have brought this up, I want to say four or five times in the offseason of college football, how he was on the sidelines of a Central Michigan game and just, we moved on. Like, there was just a non-coach on another sideline.
With recording glasses,
yeah. Filming Michigan State, who was ass, by the way, last year. You didn't need to cheat to beat Michigan State. And it was him. And the report has come out indicating that, yes, it was him. They still can't figure out how he got the pass.
Nope.
I love how Central Michigan is just getting a freebie out of this. Like, nobody's going to get turf there, that they allowed a Michigan coach to put on their gear and come on their sideline and cheat when they played Michigan State. But it was proven in the NCAA, or it was at least in this report, that was indeed Connor Stallions on the sideline in Central Michigan gear.
So Sharon Moore getting suspended for this would be kind of hilarious.
It would be. He was the suspended coach of replacement last year.
He was. I don't know where I go on this. I think ultimately, one, none of this is shocking. They absolutely were covering and lying about what was happening with Connor Stallions. We all knew that in real time. We all said as much.
Yeah.
I'll be curious to hear what Stallion says on the Netflix thing, because he reportedly would not cooperate with the investigation.
Nope.
So you know he was holding that for Netflix. I think the other thing I keep going back and forth, and I'm fascinated to hear your take on this.
What do you got?
You tell me Michigan's the best team in college football last year. I don't bat an eye. I don't say, yeah, no, I question that. But, like, I just found it to be a very weird place as a fan that they were allowed to participate after being found out cheating at that level.
I remember you saying this, the playoff, because so much of the, when the playoff was announced, so much of the debate turned into Florida State and Alabama. And you and I were on different sides of that. I had no problem with Alabama being in. You were adamant that Florida State should have been in.
That their resume, that their season undefeated, had earned their way in despite what the quarterback situation was.
And yes. I remember you saying at the time of like, why are we spending so much time debating Florida State or Alabama when Michigan blatantly cheated all year?
Yeah.
And they played nobody in non-conference, which this year that's getting adjusted. They're playing Texas this year in non-conference early in the year.
Good for them.
And none of the debate was about Michigan being left out as blatant cheaters. And now it has been proved. I mean, we all knew it. Now the report's coming out. Their head coach left to go to the NFL, largely because I think he knew what was coming.
He's never coming back to college.
He's not. He might get a permanent ban out of this. Yeah. That was in this reporting
level
as well.
Level one show cause penalty
where he might not even be allowed to coach college football again if he wants to come back to college football. And it just, we talked about this like a week or two ago, and I remember asking the question, when I say Houston Astros, what comes to mind?
Cheating.
And when I say Michigan, and this was before all of this was resurfaced, I feel like they just kind of skate.
They did.
They don't get the same allegation of those cheating bastards. They're the villain of the sport. It's like Harbaugh's kind of funny and all right. Connor, he was wearing glasses in a fake disguise on another sideline. They have kind of skated through all of this, and I'm glad at least it's back in the forefront because they blatantly cheated for the last 2 to 3 years.
I think what's tough and the difference would be is like Houston cheating in the pros in a sport like baseball, where I think we see that and we go, like, any given time a team that's talented can lose in a series or a moment that they shouldn't. Whereas college, we all looked at that team and said, loaded everywhere. Secondary, defensive line, offensive line, quarterback was experienced. They had Roman Wilson at wide receiver. They had the running back whose name has just escaped me right now.
Oh God!
Damn it! Second time we've
you
choked.
Saying that now is making me brain fart.
Blake Corum.
Thank you.
Like they were loaded, and it wasn't a question of talent.
No.
We all knew they were maybe the best team in college football, and Harbaugh's a damn good coach.
They were in the playoff back-to-back years leading into that year.
And so I think because of the pro-college difference, that's why they skated. I thought it was weird in real time to listen to people we love and respect do all of their podcasts and shows and write-ups, and like, it just kind of went away. Like, they had a massive cheating scandal happening from 2021,
yes,
going into 2023 and probably even 24.
When they flipped the rivalry. Isn't that funny how it happened?
They had play cards. They were printing. They deleted text messages. They gave their team signals when other teams were in formations and then would, like, when they'd Omaha out of it and hot route their asses out of it. They would rotate their defense because they knew what they were going into.
Right.
And we just, like, moved on, allowed that to still be in the background, and said, yep, they're deserving to be in the playoff. They're the national champion. Again, probably the best team in college football last year. Just a very odd, weird national champion that I'm going to look back and go, that program grossly cheated their way to the top. I watched them lose to TCU the year prior in the playoff. And what did we find out about that? That TCU had caught wind of their cheating.
They changed all their calls.
And created all these dummy calls.
Right.
And then look, who looked dumb in that playoff game?
Yeah.
Michigan.
They gave up like 60 points to TCU.
So it's just, it's such a weird thing to be in. And like, I'm not one that says that they should vacate. Like, I watched it happen. They beat Alabama. They beat UW. But buddy, if I'm a Bama UW fan, there's a part of me that's like,
hanging the banner.
I'm not hanging a banner, but I'm kind of like mentally like, those guys cheated. They're cheaters. I mean, group of cheaters.
The way that I remember it, and I agree with you, I hate cheaters. I can't stand people that don't follow through on what they say. Like, this is like the peak of things that piss me off in the world of sports, this right here. But I do remember initially late November when we did see, all right, you know what? The Big Ten actually doing something, trying to respond, remove Jim Harbaugh from the sidelines for this. And I thought the sentiment at that time was, okay, you know what? We don't ever see any kind of punishment in real time for these kinds of allegations. And what this does for Michigan, at least in my opinion at the time, and I think a lot of others, was it's going to make Michigan play Ohio State, going to make them play Penn State, which were really good teams late in the season last year, mm-hmm. without their head coach. And it's like, you know what? Okay, now other teams, if you want to take their asses, go beat them. It sucked. They couldn't. But I feel like that there was an opportunity for Michigan to get ousted at the end of last season. Other teams didn't take care of business. And then the cheating scandal kind of just floated away. And I agree. Nobody's really talking about it. But at the time, I thought the other schools in the Big Ten gave opponents an opportunity to stuff it to them.
So real quick, Dirt, on what he's saying, that's fine to have the take. I don't necessarily disagree with it because you need to get information. What I would also say is suspending Harbaugh was a sneaky, smart move in Michigan's favor because, according to this report, who orchestrated all this? The current staff. Right. Sharon Moore is in contact with Connor Stallions, who deleted text messages. So, like,
yeah, Harbaugh didn't have text messages with Connor Stallions in the
investigation. Harbaugh was the guy at the top saying, just figure it out. Leave me out. Bye. And then everybody else is dialing this up and figuring it out. It's delete, like, delete, oh, delete, suspend delete, me, delete. Please. It's like, okay, great. All the other cheaters are still coaching.
Well, I do think that's a good point from Schulte because, like, you use the Astros as an example, right? We find out, I think in the after, I don't think we knew at the time when they won the World Series that they were cheating. We found out in the aftermath.
It was when
of it.
Mike Fryer signed with a new team and then came out with a statement, I think,
that's
the next
right.
season that said, hey, and this is what was happening.
I don't think that the suspensions and punishment happened until maybe even the next year. It was like a year and a half, two years later that you started to get guys fired. And the GM and the coach, and I know the players were never held accountable, and that will always piss people off, and I totally get that, right? But there's a players union, and that's really hard to do in Major League Baseball. So to your point, Schulte, there was real-time punishment here. I just, your point, Sprague, on Michigan having to do this last year is so spot on because it almost reminds me, and this is a soft spot for me, it's like a Barry Bonds argument. Like, why did you didn't need to take steroids. You were one of the best players in the history of the game.
Yes.
You were a first ballot Hall of Famer in everybody's minds prior to 1999. And then you go on to break all these records because you felt like you needed to do this to, you know, beat Hank Aaron or Mark McGwire and Sosa Pisioff, whatever.
Right.
And it has totally tainted everything that shouldn't have been tainted. Michigan probably would have won the national championship with or without cheating last year. They didn't play an opponent with a pulse until November 11th.
Yeah.
Until they played Penn State to Schulte's point, they had Penn State and Ohio State in like two of the last three games of the season.
Yep.
Prior to that, they played East Carolina, UNLV, and Bowling Green in non-conference. They cheated and stole the signs of Michigan State. Michigan State was so bad last year.
Yeah, they had Mel Tucker situation pop up. They had coachless situation.
Baylor School for the Blind didn't need to cheat to beat Michigan State last year. That's how bad. Like, it was so unnecessary to do.
Yeah.
And I think it probably started years before this as an impetus to we have to beat Ohio State.
Oh, yeah,
and I think that's where it began.
Them.
And yep. then it spiraled into this, well, like if we're doing this to beat Ohio State, we beat them. How do we feel about scouting all these other teams? And it ended up becoming this big web of cheating. But it just is hilarious that it was totally unnecessary. Because to your point, that team was loaded. The schedule was cake. And by the time they won the national championship game, everybody knew that they were cheating. By the time we got to the end of the year, everybody knew that they were cheating. So you could change your signs, you go through different calls, you change everything about your process, and they still won the games fair and square late in the year, proving that they didn't have to do this, completely tainting their first national championship since 1997.
You obviously have a passionate hatred for the team they beat in the title game. If that was Oregon, I'm just curious.
I'm hanging half of a trophy, half of a banner. Cut it down the middle. Cut down the middle of the banner. Maybe the Huskies can sew this one together with their other half national championship. And then you have two halves that come into one, and you have one
full.
Now
they're counting playoff appearances.
Now, I mean, they already have those banners up. The participation trophies are there. Now you tie together the two half banners. You have one full banner, man.
I'm not going to make fun of Washington, by the way, for having playoff appearances. I wish Oregon State had that. I wish we could put up.
I wish Oregon would have won the Pac-12 title game and gone to the playoff.
Didn't get the season right either. But
remember how we felt when Belichick and the Patriots,
yes,
and Spygate and Deflategate, like they beat the Rams because they filmed their practices. That was one of the greatest offense and teams we've ever seen. And the Patriots as two touchdown underdogs flat out beat them. We're like, man, what a great story. And they're like, they filmed all their practices. They had all of the formations.
All of it.
All of their audibles. They knew everything that was going to happen.
And they still almost lost.
And they still almost lost, which I think speaks to the Rams' talent. But
and then Brady did basically nothing, but he's the GOAT because he won that game.
Well, they did leave 8 seconds on that clock and just kind of tick it off at the end of that field goal,
hey,
too.
Yes. Go rewatch the game. John Madden with a minute 42 is like, oh, I knew this and go to overtime. And you're like, oh, that didn't age well.
Oh, I remember my dad saying, too much time, we're going to lose.
Love it. What do you make? What should be the punishment here? How is this all going to shake out? It is great timing to join the Big Ten because Michigan might be facing very serious punishment in year one. And Oregon goes to Ann Arbor later this year. I believe Michigan is in Seattle this year, if I'm not mistaken.
They are, yeah.
They play both the Huskies and the Ducks.
Boy, it's wild because we don't know how it probably would have been Georgia in lieu of Michigan. But if the Big Ten would have prohibited them from... Well, my probably would have been Ohio State, actually, because they would have won the Big Ten Conference. But if they would have banned them and actually had the cojones to do that,
yeah.
Are we talking about the Washington Huskies as defending champions? Like,
it could be.
It's just, you got to be
Does Kalen DeBoer leave if he wins a national championship? Ooh. Does he still leave if he wins and doesn't get dog walked by 21 points in that game?
Talking about still would have lost on that talent.
Alabama coach Lane Kiffin or something. God.
Boy, what a world we live in.
What a bizarre world.
Big Ten would have actually just nutted up and said, no, you are the biggest cheaters. You're not allowed to play in this, and you wouldn't have been in the playoff.
Imagine the controversy. They beat Ohio State, but then Ohio State still gets to go to the Big Ten title game.
Yes.
How many people would have been pissed off by that?
Don't cheat. I mean, there's a pretty easy response to that. Don't cheat like that.
I saw one message board from a Michigan fan saying that we should just leave the NCAA and play international football teams in Ann Arbor as a showcase and become a semi-pro level of football.
Oh, please do it. Nobody would care.
What should we do with Michigan? Your thoughts are welcome. Vancouver Ford text lines 503-864-6326. I got a couple of NFL training camp notes I'm going to get to. That's coming up next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
A Michigan fan has chimed in with a go blue. They beat a team Dan couldn't beat.
Hey. If I'm Michigan fan.
Well played, troll. Well played.
Hey, I don't know if I'm defending the cheating part, but I'm definitely like, yeah, I love this. We won the title, so, you know, whatever.
I mean, this is what – look, it's not a Michigan fan thing. This is what every fan base does. And I've had to deal with my team cheating or players cheating. You defend your guy. Every fan base is the same. Willie Lyles was a great man who helped people further their professional careers and get them into opportunities to go to college.
Yeah. There were
is that a bad thing? We don't want kids going to college in this country.
There were dead recruits on that list.
Yeah, there was. It
could have been good. I bet they were good.
Look, there is also an element. Like, you can read about the history of the sport of football. There's all kinds of. Yeah. Whether you call it cheating, I don't know what that line is for everybody, but there's all kinds of things. Growing grass longer, putting sprinklers on so a team can't run the football efficiently. There's all kinds of little things. I think this is just a little different for me, and I think the crazy thing is always just going to be that, like, we knew it, we talked about it for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, and then everybody just went on acting as if nothing needs to happen to them. Yeah. And if you're a Michigan fan and you're hearing all of this, you're like,
dude, I don't care. I got a title. Yeah,
but we won the championship. Like, sure. I totally get that stance as well.
You tell me Oregon wins a national title and it comes out they were doing all sorts of nefarious things behind the scenes, like paid $80 million for their roster.
That's not illegal anymore, actually.
You think I'm going to care at all? No.
Well, but after this, I mean, like, what fan base is not, you know what I mean? Like, who's going to point to this and go, oh, I can't believe you cheated. Like, now that this precedent has been set.
Yeah.
It kind of changes things.
One listener chiming in saying, is there anyone else like me who kind of just doesn't really care about the Michigan stuff anymore? I hated it at the time, but then they still won without cheating, just like the Astros. I hated it, but now it's kind of like, whatever.
Well, yeah, I moved on too until this came out last night, and I'm not like, I'm not going to re-talk about this for a week. I'll probably see what Stallion says in the Netflix stuff. But
and there'll be we'll get to it when the punishment comes down, because there will be a if you're getting a notice of level one out, you know, sanctions or allegations, whatever they call it.
I think Moore is two.
He's two. That's right. He's two.
One is for the guys, basically the net, like I think Harbaugh. And
most
company.
Of them are gone. Denard Robinson, Jim Harbaugh. Yeah. I believe Jesse Minter might have been 11-1 guy too. And they, remember, they scapegoated their linebacker coach, who they fired last year, and he was the guy they fired.
Yeah.
And he was also 11-1.
Well, he was trying to pressure a player to not talk to investigators.
Yes. There was a story in there about how Connor Stallions gave a player like a sheet of their stolen calls when the investigation started, and was like, "You take this to your house. I'll come pick it up later." And the player was like, "Okay."
like had to take the sheet home back to his house. Remember when Blake Corum opened up a vacuum sale company with Connor Stallions? Remember that report?
Vacuum sales?
You don't remember that? That no. Was, like, they opened an LLC together.
He had like all these old ass vacuums on his front porch. And they went up to the house. It's like all of these old vacuums are just sitting there because he had an LLC as a vacuum salesman.
Yeah, I don't blame Michigan fan for saying that. I would say the same thing if it was my program. It's
well, just, you're telling me all these SEC teams, Miami,
everybody cheats,
didn't
right?
cheat. I mean,
yep.
Come on. We've been cheating in that sport forever.
I mean, I bring this up all the time. My team lost a national championship game because Auburn was allowed to pay Cam Newton's dad $250,000 because it was a church donation. So, you know. Teach their own.
God, he was a good football player.
He was so good, dude.
He was so good.
He was so good. I don't think he gets the respect he deserves in some of those top 10, top 15 lists.
Well, he does some of that to himself with some
athlete.
Of the things he says, but yeah, well, pro too. I mean, he was an amazing pro quarterback until he got his shoulder hurt.
If you want good content, by the way, go find yourself some Cam Newton playing NCAA football content because he's doing a lot of like Twitch stuff where he's playing the game. And he was matched up against somebody. I just saw clips of it on social media. So just blatantly, openly racist. Like, guys saying super racist stuff to Cam Newton, and they're playing NCAA football.
Like calling the N-bomb and stuff?
I don't think he went far as N-word, but a lot of, like, food choices and lifestyle. Okay. He was going down that kind of road, and Cam Newton just dominated him, and he made the guy quit, and he just starts laughing and laughing and laughing, and it was kind of funny to see a racist get shoved into a locker.
Cam Newton's kind of one of those guys that, like, a lot of people don't like and dislike. I don't agree with a lot of what he says about current players, but I'll always kind of defend Cam Newton. Yeah. He was a remarkable football player.
He was, and he was officiated different. It was just everything about him was unique. So there you go. That's enough of Michigan conversation for the day. I didn't get to my other NFL notes, but Michigan, we'll wait and see what the punishments get. There is going to be a punishment here. How severe to certain players, individuals,
we'll
team, you know, will they be banned from a bowl game and all that, scholarship reductions? We'll have to wait and see on that. The NCAA does not have a lot of authority anymore. So we'll see how aggressive they want to be.
I know they control a lot of like these bowl game things and stuff. What point does a program, maybe it's Michigan, just say, oh, he spent two games? We don't care.
We don't care. We're not
He'll be
do
out
it.
There.
Just go coach.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. Shut down our program, really? We're Michigan. We just won the national
Throw
title.
Throw white guys out of here.
We got some Blazer news. What does it mean, if anything? We'll talk about that and some NFL camp notes. All of that still to come in the next half hour. First, here's Schulte with SportsCenter. All right, my Windhorse fingers are up. Welcome back in, 8:35. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Wow.
News out this morning. Somebody texted in earlier in the midst of screaming about NFL quarterbacks, saying, God, could you guys just say anything? Tell me anything about the Blazers.
Looking for Blazer content right now.
August 5th Blazer content, man. The people are craving. August 5th, highly anticipated season. Give me that Blazer content.
Hot Blazers news.
Hot Blazer talk.
I'll give you a Blazer tease.
Oh, okay.
Side eye emoji.
Side eye emoji. Windhorse fingers.
Could be news coming fairly soon.
Ooh.
I'll tell you that right now.
I thought we heard that like a month ago about another player other than
what does it mean?
I didn't say it
what
a month
it
ago.
Mean,
I said
Basil.
It now.
What does it mean?
Stay
tell
tuned.
Me, tell me more.
I didn't expect that.
Stay tuned.
Well, the news this morning from Woj, just groundbreaking news from Woj. I mean, big time stuff.
Woj bomb.
The water carrying knows no bounds.
Is this even considered a bomb?
No.
I don't think it is.
I mean, anything Woj tweets is a bomb.
All right.
Based on the rookie year, I'd say it's a BB.
Scoot Henderson has signed with Clutch Sports.
Uh-oh.
Da, da, da.
He's left Parlay Sports. Huh? For Clutch Sports.
Parlay Sports sounds like a daily fantasy website, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Come play Parlay Sports, ParlaySports.com.
Fantasy gambling.
We got all the picks for you to win big money.
Yeah.
Peter Books.
Use the code DIRT and SPRAY.
DNS at checkout. So here you go, Blazer fan. Here's your Blazer segment. What does this mean, Basil? Anything? Are we doing anything with this?
Yeah.
Okay, Blazer Brandon, tell me, what does it mean?
There technology are and stuff.
Two now Clutch Sports teams in the NBA, the Los Angeles Lakers and the Portland Trail Blazers. 60% of our roster is Clutch Sports at this point. Our coach is pseudo Clutch Sports. They negotiate his contract, even though he's not technically a client. I believe our general manager also has his stuff dealt through Clutch.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing? We want to be good with Clutch, or are we too close to Clutch?
We've spent almost all of our energy sending Clutch clients to good places.
Like, we have, yeah.
Go look at the Clutch relationship with the Blazers. Quite prominent. They're together in a lot of ways.
I mean, LeBron's going to own the Blazers. Is that what you're telling me?
I'd be okay with that. I'd be A-okay. Player owner, first ever in NBA history.
LeBron, Paul Allen owns the Blazers. Brings in Bryce James.
I mean, this means one of two things. I don't think it dictates terms per se. What I would say is if Scoot has a really good second year, that's going to lead into a massive third year. And at that point, given who we draft, that dude's probably going to be looking at the heftiest of paydays at the rookie extension point.
Yeah.
Or he gets dealt where he wants to get dealt.
Mm.
That's kind of my two takeaways. When you have a relationship with an agency, Neil used to have this, I forget the agency and the agent, but he had a good relationship with like one guy, and he would just keep rotating guys from that agent.
Did he happen to be Norm Powell and CJ McCollum's agent?
When you have these kinds of relationships, it's agent team based in a lot of ways. Uh-huh. And Portland is a heavy Clutch team. So what does it mean? It means if Scoot can up his career profile and change things statistically, he's probably going to get near the rookie max extension. Which is debatable at this point, but let's wait and see what Scoot is. Or Scoot is not good.
He's going to get dealt to wherever he wants to go.
We draft his replacement, and he ends up finding a nice little home for himself, because how dare you put a Clutch client in a bad place.
This is this is more good news for Clutch as opposed to the Blazers, right? This is them expanding their profile of players.
But they got a notable player. They got third pick in the draft from a season ago. Like, yeah, this is, I mean, Clutch is already in a good spot. This puts him in an even better spot.
But yeah. I don't like it for the Blazers because I do feel like, I mean, not feel like it, kind of evidenced in seeing the players that he signed and traded for, that Joe Cronin's kind of getting a call or somebody in the ear from Clutch, like every time there's a move to be made, like, hey, you know, why don't you bring our guy in? And I'm just not looking at the roster of Clutch players, seeing like any big game changers there.
Well,
so,
I mean, this is the
right
NBA.
Outside the damn box.
It's the NBA in a nutshell, man. It's kind of how it operates, unfortunately. It's the agent team relationships.
Relationship business. I saw they signed a guard randomly last week when I was on vacation.
Devontae Graham.
Yeah.
Yeah. Non-guaranteed camp invite.
Okay, because I thought we were at a full roster.
We are.
Which made me confused.
This smells more like a favor, let a guy get his name out there, and
so not a trade on the horizon? Because when that happened, everybody thought a trade was on the horizon.
Well, I think it's a natural thing to go, hey, you got not only another player on
another
a full roster,
guard.
You got a guard.
Yes, where we don't have a lot of need.
I won't certainly dismiss the idea that it could have a trade at some point, because we know Ant wants to win, but largely this is reported so far just a non-guaranteed camp invite.
You know what blows my mind every year?
The Blazers in their current predicament. Being bad for another season. Having probably the worst four-year stretch in franchise history at this point of our lives. I mean, those are all valid things to be blowing your mind. Probably going to have the worst five-year stretch, because even though we get a good player in the draft next year, they're not going to be good in that year.
I mean, the fact that
all of that
is applicable, and yes. I will allow that under the umbrella of what blows my mind. The other thing is, like, aren't we like a month away from guys like training? When is training camp open?
Training camp's like the end of August. Well, the end of this month. Like, no, it's more like mid-early September.
After Labor Day, yeah.
Like, we're like a month away from NBA training camp being here.
Yes.
The NBA is always that, like, one in the corner in the middle of football season of like, hey, we're here. We're starting our season.
We're still existing.
Pay attention to us.
Actually, I got more Blazers breaking news.
Oh, Schultzy. What do we got? Give me a trade. Come on. Give me a trade.
No trade, but Brett Siegel from Clutch Points said in the last few hours that at some point, this is via Twitter, the Blazers and DeAndre Ayton are expected to part ways, according to sources.
Sources.
Yes, the former first overall pick.
First of all,
doesn't command a market.
I think it's really sexy.
At this time.
Clutch Points.
Because Donovan Klingon was the best player in the NBA in Summer League, bitch. We don't need you anymore, Ayton. Get out of here.
Clutch Points is like a graphic generator on Twitter. I don't know if anybody should really cite that they work with Clutch Points unless they're really good at Photoshop.
Hey, he's a national NBA insider is what Brett Siegel says.
I mean, so he's also talking about something we've all kind of already known, that Ayton's not for long as their center. That's why they drafted Klingon.
Did you get the joke? That's why.
No, I know. I know.
It up in the first place.
No, but I love that you brought it up, because I saw this and people were like,
well,
oh my God, really? I can't believe.
Did you see who they drafted?
I mean, they drafted a center. with a top 10 pick.
What about the Twin Tower attack, guys? Greg Oden, Joe Prisbilla, when they were on back in the day.
So their first 4 years of existence as a franchise, 29, 18, 21, and 27 wins.
Blazers in his Blazer history?
Right now, they're at 27, 33, 21. And their over-under is 22.5. So if they get in the teens, it'll be the worst 4 year stretch in franchise history.
Yes,
and they should be.
They
in the
will be in the teens this year
once they trade guys.
Yeah, it'll eventually.
Or at
happen.
Least they should trade guys.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. There's your Blazer segment. Does everybody feel good? Everybody like their Blazer segment? Is that needed? You need a Blazer segment in your life today?
Well, I mean, it's just another, you know, Clutch being a part of this is. I don't think it's an accident.
Yeah. Still going to get 19 wins this year. Doesn't change that.
CAA and Clutch. That's it. That's the NBA in a nutshell.
It is wild because this year will be the year we have to decide if we want to give Shaden Sharpe an extension, right?
Yeah, I talked about this with the homie Richmond on his pod.
This is the year because after year three, you got to decide rookie extension?
Unless his stats are completely through the roof, which I think he'll improve, barring he stays healthy. You're not giving him a full rookie max extension.
You're not going to?
You're not giving him the Franz Wagner.
Does that piss him off? And then is he not going to be... Baby Kobe, Sprague, what happened?
Dude, you're not giving him a Franz Wagner.
He's not a Franz Wagner?
You think somebody else
not
would?
Not yet.
Not yet?
He'd have to really put up like 27... 7-7.
Woo!
Shooting like 39%. Well, maybe. Yeah, probably close to that all-star round. He'd have to have that kind of year for me to go, yeah, rookie max extension, let's do it.
What a big disappointment if he gets hurt again this year.
I mean,
last year was his breakout potential. That team was terrible.
That
he was
going to
get so many shots and so many minutes. It was going to be his team.
Yeah.
Passing of the torch.
31
then,
games.
Pfft, nothing.
31 games. I think the biggest Blazer news is that Clyde was at Dick's. He was at a big Dick's opening.
Oh, yeah. They opened a new location.
Janssen Beach. We talked about this when you were out too the day
they
before you got
They
opened
a Dick's in Janssen Beach?
Massive Dick's.
Massive Dick's?
Huge Dick's.
Whoa.
Big Dick's.
Really?
Big Dick's.
Shocked that a
Like, how much bigger is it than the normal Dick's?
Like golf simulators are in there.
No way.
Shopping.
Really?
They're trying to revitalize Janssen Beach.
Do I need
Beach.
To go to Janssen Beach? Is that what you're telling me? I'm a big fan of Dick's.
I love Dick's. I love when there's a big Dick's and there's a big Dick's up the highway.
Yeah.
Big corporation growing. That's actually not very common nowadays.
They had Clyde
big Dick's
out
going
there.
Up. Pretty cool.
Clyde out there and Golden Tate showed up.
Golden Tate?
They had signings for those guys.
Golden Tate?
Golden Tate.
That's a throwback. Okay.
You know what I would have brought Golden Tate that I thought would have stood out and maybe would have made him laugh that'd be different than all of the other people he met and signed for?
Uh-huh.
I would have showed up with a maple bar. Does anybody get that reference?
Do you think he would sign it? Do you think he would joke about that?
I think he would laugh, and then I'd give him something to sign or get a photo.
Yeah.
Like, does anybody get that joke?
Would it Gottlieb steal again?
Credit cards.
Credit cards. If you showed up with a credit card to a Gottlieb signing, you think he would laugh about it?
I think he'd be pissed.
Stick in the butt?
Oh, he'd tell you.
I think those are two different personality types. I think that's I'm way serious douchebag who lives in Newport Beach, and I think it's... I'm fun-loving former NFL guy who had a pretty nice career
really
for
good
myself.
Career. Really good career.
And now I'm signing things at Big Dick's. And so, like, bringing him a maple bar would be fantastic. Because if you don't remember, I think his rookie year, he broke into a Tot Pot donut shop.
Yes.
Took some maple bars.
He did. Prime college days.
I mean, have you ever had Tot Pot?
Yeah.
Really good donut.
Good donut.
Really good donut.
Well, there you go. Blazer news. Scoot signs with Clutch. So there's your Blazer segment for the day. Let's wrap it up. Send you on your way. A little Olympic update. Some NFL news and notes as well. Close it up on a Monday next on the Fan. Well, we're a couple days away from the NFL preseason picking back up. How about Thursday night? Can I interest you?
Hell yeah, brother. Don't even say it. I don't need the teams. I don't need the place.
You say
Thursday
excited.
Night, there's football.
NFL Network, Thursday night, 5
yes,
o'clock.
Please.
Bryce Young versus Drake May.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if both of them are playing, but we did find out that in the preseason opener, you will get to see Jaden Daniels.
I believe
for the
Caleb
Washington
is also going to play.
In their next game. He didn't play in the Hall of Fame game, which makes sense because they'd only been in camp for like a week and none of their starters played. But I'm glad that he's going to play in the next one. It's a big reason for me to watch preseason football. Not that you take much away from it, but just to, hey, it's a glimpse of rookie quarterbacks. How do they look? You don't want to, it's similar to me of Summer League, of like, if a guy plays great in summer league, it's not an indicator that he's going to be a great NBA player because we have how many examples over the
Quintel
years?
Quintel Woods, Jared Bayless,
right? Yeah. Go down the list every year. It is a major concern, though, if you don't look good in summer league, of like, hey, really? You can't He can't hack it against non-NBA players. How do we think that's going to translate? Where I think preseason football is somewhat similar. Of like, I'm not asking you to go out there and be Joe Montana in your first preseason game, but if you look like crap, maybe there's a red flag. If you look great, fan bases are going to be thrilled. I can't wait to see how these young guys look.
Yeah, no, I think it's an exciting thing. Caleb playing and Jaden Daniels playing, and I haven't confirmed if Caleb is playing. I haven't seen that yet. But they'll be on at the same time. I think their games start an hour apart, so you'll be able to at least see one before they pull him and then get to see the other. Look, you're right. Preseason doesn't dictate what these guys are going to be in their careers, but it gives us a little view. Bryce Young, for example, I'm out on him in general. I just don't believe in a quarterback being that small, ever succeeding in winning you a Super Bowl. But maybe Canales tapped into something with Baker that he can bring here. Carolina's defense was pretty decent. I don't know how much hope they should have in Carolina offensively, but they hired an offensive coach, so that kind of changes the way you feel about it. Maybe he'll be able to go out there and make some of the naysayers feel really wrong about how they view his career. It's preseason, but it could be a good snapshot of maybe he's getting the ball out quicker, his protection's a little better.
Yeah.
They're not asking him to do as much and carry everything because he might not be that kind of player. And so with a restart at coach, it could change the viewpoints of them.
It is wild. You know, we were talking about quarterbacks earlier in the show and rankings and, you know, yelling our hot takes about where guys should be ranked. But it is funny how quickly you are expected to deliver in this league. And that Bryce Young, whether it's fair or not, I would largely argue not fair.
Oh, it's very unfair.
This is it.
You get 2.5 years at most in the NFL now, whereas we used to watch guys get 4 years, like a solid four.
Play the scenario out that Bryce Young sucks and the Panthers suck. Now, they, I believe, own their first-round pick this year, unlike last year where they sent it to Chicago and they could have Caleb Williams. Oopsies! This year, I believe they own their first-round pick. Let's say they go 3-14 again.
Yeah, is it Carson Beck? Is it Quinn Ewers? Is it Shador? Like,
you taking one of those guys after 2 years of Bryce Young, number one overall pick?
And at Beck, what is Beck? Beck's like 6'4", isn't he?
He's a
big dude. So it's like, if you have him and he goes out there and he balls out and he wins the SEC, if you're awful and he's not very good, that's not his coach. That's a new journey. And so you see how that is with general managers. With coach, it's like, if that's not the quarterback they wanted, that's easy for that relationship to get over pretty quickly.
Well, we also get Hard Knocks this week, so closer and closer to football actually beginning. It's tomorrow night is the first episode.
I believe it's Tuesday.
Did you guys watch the off-season version?
I watched a couple of the Giants one,
Me too. I only got 2 episodes in. I kind of forgot about it after that.
Mm.
I think then you get closer. I'm this way with the real Hard Knocks when it starts, where like the first 3 episodes, you're like, yes, Hard Knocks. And then by the time the final one airs, college football has already begun, and there's actual football on TV, and so you're kind of like, I already know who got cut because it was already Schefter sent out the tweet. This guy's not on the team. That guy's not on the team.
But most of them don't make the team.
And most of them don't make the team anyways.
Yeah. And even if they do, we don't hear about them after game two.
Exactly.
Again of the next year.
Yeah, exactly. I think the best player they've shown in this is Darren Waller. And they're like, he's trying to revitalize his career.
And he did.
And he became a great tight end for a couple of years.
Puka Nacua is week to week with a knee injury. There's a little update for you. One of the stories that I'm really enjoying following is the quarterback battle in Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Just Russell Wilson, Justin Fields. Seems like a lot of people in Pittsburgh are leaning towards Fields. He should be the guy, and the highlights have been better. But Russ is the established guy. And will Russ even, like, show up if he doesn't win the job? I know he's on, like, a vet minimum deal. I'm watching that one closely. It's been fun.
I got a quarterback that was maybe being forgotten about a little bit that talked this weekend. We'll get to that tomorrow. And then you mentioned a team.
Nice little tease.
Their quarterback battle might be flying right under the radar, and it might be one of the biggest surprises, I think, in the whole league.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dirty tease.
But it's football season,
that's
buddy.
It,
we only have so many segments here on the show. We were only 6 to 10 for Big Ten Media Day.
Yeah.
If we were 6 to 10,
we need to expand.
If we're going to 10 a.m., we'd have maybe some more football.
Yeah. SMU dirty poll tomorrow.
Yep.
7:30. We'll go to Dallas, Texas, and talk SMU as they have big expectations in their first year in the ACC. The dirty poll went to Iowa State today for a preview of the Cyclones. Bill Seals, really good stuff from him, previewing Iowa State. We also had Andrew Greifon live from Paris, France, talking Olympics. So go check those, 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague, and at 1080 The Fan. Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Thanks so much for being a part of our Monday. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Make sure you like the video and subscribe to the channel before you close it down. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Calling us next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to
compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.